I'm Cody from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is the official GunnaGeek.com show. Here we're a bunch of geeks talking about geeky things. Each week we run down the latest news and happenings in the world of geek. These are your hosts for the show, Steven.
But what if I'm in the mood for a T-Swift story?
Chris.
I've heard the X is going to give it to you.
And SP.
That's how we roll on Gunna Geek on Monday night. We get crazy!
Gunna Geek Productions presents the official GunnaGeek.com show.
Hello and welcome to episode 263 of the official GunnaGeek.com show. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Chris Farrell.
I can't believe Stephen has a Christmas shirt on already. It's November.
It's true. We also have, of course, Stargate Pioneer.
It's about ready to snow here tonight. So, you know, I've been having the Amazon personal assistant speaker play holiday music. So we are now
really
in that era.
Oh, no. Yay! I'm so excited. And by the way, for those of you who are not watching the video side of things, I look a little red tonight. I think my shirt is so red that it's like messing with the camera. It's absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I put it on my Christmas shirt today because I will fully admit I put up some Christmas lights today. Yep, totally did that. Thanksgiving has come and gone in October, and we are here now in the full swing of things up in Canada for Christmas season. So there you go.
You can't say that statement. It's fake Thanksgiving. You have to say it's fake Thanksgiving.
That's true. The one that is in a week from now is fake. That's very fake.
No. The one in October is fake.
I disagree.
That's Columbus Day.
Well, you know what? No, we'll leave that alone. When we're not arguing about Thanksgiving, we like to talk about geeky things. And one of the geeky things that we've set up here for the Gunna Geek crowd is a Discord server. If you've not checked it out, I encourage you to please head on over to GunnaGeek.com/Discord. That's GunnaGeek.com/Discord. And we have a community set up. It's basically like a chat room, and you can join us there. There's a lot of people who have taken to this, and we are very happy to have so many people checking out the Gunna Geek Discord. Now, what I want to say is that there has been a bit of a chat regarding the Discord, and I gotta set the record straight here right now, and unfortunately it's to do with this very show. There's been some people over there who have been commenting about the Christmas episode special that's gonna be coming on this year on the GunnaGeek.com show, because for those of you who did miss it last year, we did a version of a Christmas carol here on the GunnaGeek.com show. We had a lot of fun with that. We had a good time. And apparently people thought it was going to be an annual tradition. And guess what? It's not going to be. We will continue to have our Christmas themed episode like we usually do. But I wanted to make sure that our disappointment level was at a regular amount of disappointment and not an extreme amount of disappointment. So I just wanted to set that record straight right now, is if you're expecting something crazy happening for this Christmas, it's not going to happen. It's not an annual thing. It was a lot of work, but that's not to say we won't have more fun videos throughout the year. We've done a couple this year. Like, there was a whole editing promo, which you can actually find at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. It was a lot of fun. We even had one where Chris Farrell beamed into my house. Oh, wait, that was just in my dreams. Sorry.
You get to be the little spoon next time, Steven.
So I just wanted to set the record straight on that now, because, again, I don't want you to be super disappointed. But let's go ahead and move on to the news while I put my hoodie on. This red camera thing is really bugging me. All right, Stargate Pioneer, start us off here. Let us know here, what do you got going on in the space? There we go. The color balance is way better now. What's going on in the space world this week?
I've been keeping tabs of SpaceX as it develops its manned spacecraft. And of course, the BFR, the big Falcon rocket. Yep. They are going to have a 100-person spaceship, a colonization ship that's going to be built. Well, in the development of said rocket ship, they are actually, SpaceX is going to set, they are set to modify a Falcon 9 upper stage to test BFR technologies. And this was via a spacenews.com article that I saw on November 7th by Jeff Faust. So SpaceX chief executive Elon Musk said on November 7th in a series of tweets that his company will attempt an orbital flight of a reusable version of a Falcon 9 upper stage by the middle of 2019, nominally June, to test technologies for the company's next generation launch vehicle. The Falcon 9 second stage will be upgraded to be like a mini BFR ship, Musk said. And he went on to say, I'm actually quite confident that we'll be able to achieve full reusability of the upper stage. In fact, I'm certain we can achieve full reusability of the upper stage. So I'm pretty sure they can achieve full reusability of the upper stage. The question is simply what the mass penalty is. And we don't want to put too much engineering effort into that relative to the actual BFR. Now, Musk was alluding to the fact that the upgraded stage will not be used to test landings and that SpaceX is building a BFR development ship to intended to test landings at SpaceX's South Texas spaceport, which is currently under construction. SpaceX did not provide additional details on the concept announced by Musk on Twitter, including the status of the development of that modified upper stage or whether this was intended to be a one-time test versus using that modified stage for launching payloads. So a lot of unknown questions here. Elon Musk tried to get some information out to titillate their audience, their fans, and think he did a successful job there. We will maintain our vigilance in determining what this mini BFR ship really is going to be.
You're titillated?
I'm always titillated.
So what you're saying is that SpaceX is making changes. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's really changes. I think they're just putting forth a development path for the BFR, and they want to fly a aerodynamic shape that's like the big BFR just to make sure it works correctly.
I don't know about that. Anytime I can tie in Bowie to SpaceX, it's going to happen from here on forward. Let's be real. It's their calling card now.
Steven, you're going to get us our next copyright strike, aren't you?
I've done several of that already. Let's be real here.
Shh, don't tell them how the sausage is made.
All right. So SpaceX, nice to see them. Getting in the news again, because it's been a while. We've unfortunately had to have Stargate Pioneer talk about competitors, and the competitors are the ones that we don't care about because they haven't thrown a Tesla in space. So let's just appease them now and make sure that they do end up always being talked about every week, Stargate Pioneer. In fact, you should just call it SP SpaceX news segment. That's what you should call it.
As long as it gets me a 2019 GMC Sierra 4x4, I'm fine with it.
I thought you were going to say a 2019 BFR rocket or something like that. I was like, yeah, it's a little ambitious there, SP.
I've seen some new Tesla S's on the road, too. I wouldn't mind one of those.
they're pretty sweet.
Okay, so let's move on to something else that's maybe going to be sweet, and that's Samsung Foldable, Chris Farrell. What's going on over in the world of Samsung Foldable, affordable, not affordable?
So you might have noticed last week that Samsung sort of unveiled a prototype of their foldable phone. If you saw correctly, they really just showed, like, in the dark, them folding and unfolding a phone. You couldn't get a great look at what the device looked like, but it was fairly bulky for a prototype, things like that. But the premise behind it is it's a fold phone, rather, that would fold in half, and you could unfold it like a book and have a 7.3-inch display inside that acts like a tablet. Samsung called this their Infinity Flex display, which uses a new advanced polymer that is supposedly both flexible and tough, so a little different than traditional displays. Samsung's kind of banking on hoping this might lead to more foldable gadgets, like a new Note phone, laptop displays, things like that. Why am I bringing this up? Because we've gotten some leaks out about what we might see this phone cost. And guys, this one's going to hurt. There is a report from the Yonhap news agency in South Korea that came out earlier today, suggested a new name, release date, and price for this foldable phone that Samsung teased last week. It's set to be known as the Galaxy F, probably F for foldable. The foldable is expected to be properly unveiled in March next year, a little later than the launch of Samsung's next flagship Galaxy S phone. Unlike the Galaxy S, the Galaxy F will be an exclusive device that may command a price as high as $1,770. Let me repeat that for you. $1,770. Now, to be fair, the news agency says that Samsung hasn't quite settled on a final price yet, but we do know Samsung has plans to ship 1 million foldable devices in 2019. At that price point, I'm not sure they're going to hit the million mark. I will fully admit, when we were talking about foldable displays and saying, oh, those would be cool to see one day, I kind of walked away last week going, I might want to get a foldable screen. Not for $1,700 do I want to get a foldable screen, guys. I could buy a top line gaming PC for that, basically, and do a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm happy with my Pixel 2 XL, even though it'll be like a year and a half old by the time this comes out. $1,700, while it's great to get the technology out there, the early adopter price here is a bit too steep for me. What about you guys?
I think I know what the F stands for, and it's the Samsung f***ing expensive phone.
Hmm. I see what you did there. I like
it. If you take a look at Apple's iPhone's prices with the XS Max going up to $1,500, this is next year. I could see a $200 to $300 jump above that for technology that surpasses what Apple has. So, yeah, you're talking a 7.3-inch display. It folds. I could see this costing $1,700. It's in that Apple set the precedent. It's going higher next year. So, yeah.
One thing to remember with Samsung when they do these things, they're not exactly elegant and pretty looking the first time they do it. What was it? The Note Edge or whatever it was, their first attempt at doing a curved display? Wasn't that great. Didn't look that pretty and was a bit expensive. I think that's going to be the case with this time around. It sounds cool to tech heads like you and me, but to normal people that go, that phone's kind of ugly and it's big and I don't like what it does. This is pretty much you paying the money to be an early tester, for lack of a better term, when it comes to this dual screen display feature. So while it sounds cool, I think I'm going to steer clear away from it. But on a side note, what is really cool is Google already said Android is going to natively support displays like this. They're getting ahead of it already. So you don't have to worry about potentially Samsung having to bastardize Android too much to make this happen.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear, because I'm always worried when Samsung does something original on Android, because like really they've not done a great job of executing originality on Android. Like when they started to pull out from their TouchWiz and go more towards stock Android, that was when the Samsung experience on Android got a lot better. So that's good to hear that Google's sort of getting ahead of this one.
Android software, Samsung's not good with. Android hardware, Samsung makes some pretty hardware, and they're generally ahead of the curve in a lot of things. Like this Fair. Whole trend towards curved displays that we see right now, that's Samsung. Because remember, they did it with, what was it? One of the Notes, or it was a variant of one of the Galaxy S phones that was just the Galaxy S6 Edge, I think is what it was, or something like that, or S7 Edge, I can't remember. But they made the first curved display that was commercially viable, I think. And while it may have been ugly, it translated into what we have today, where even if you're running the stock Google Pixel phones, they're all curved displays now too.
No, that's a fair point. And I just hope that this is something that, if it does take off, the price comes down and it's not just Samsung continuing to push things up because of the whole, look, it's cool, it's fun sort of
factor.
I think
you wait a year or two and you might have a price that's a bit more palatable. I mean, it's still going to be on the high end of whatever the high end is of smartphones. And the scary thing is that keeps creeping higher and higher. And I'm at a point where I'm like, oh, that's too much for me.
Hold on. I just realized something. Did we have the Apple person that actually, the only one of us who actually uses an Apple phone here on the GunnaGeek.com show, did he just say that Apple was responsible for the high prices? Did I miss that? I completely overlooked that. SP, you're blaming Apple.
It's not anything new. When we went over the selection of phones, I was going to go with an 8 Plus this year because of the high prices. I wasn't the one who bought the SX Max. That was another family member that got it. It was not me.
XS Max. I like that. I forgot about that. That's good. Well, anyways, we will just hope that one day everybody makes a foldable phone, because I think that that would be cool if everybody just had foldable phones. I don't remember a time ever that the world was walking around with foldable cell phones.
I just want StarkTech holographic ones.
Okay, so you want StarkTech.
I want StarkTech.
And you think you're going to pay an expensive for this?
I'll pay an expensive fee for that because it's friggin' badass.
All right. Well, then we'll just hold you to that, because you know there'll be one pretty soon. There's going to be a tie-in one day with Marvel.
That's what I'm going to use my first GunnaGeek.com paycheck on. So you better get ready to pay me, buddy.
You guys remember the screens that were showed off with Val Kilmer and Red Planet?
No.
Those were not only foldable, they were wrappable. They went into little, you know, little pencil pockets, basically. They were shades that came out.
Hmm. I don't remember that.
You do remember it,
or
you don't?
I don't.
I think you found yourself a reason to go watch a Val Kilmer film.
Ah.
Instead of Batman Forever.
I was going to say the only one that I know is Batman Forever.
Oh.
All right. Well, moving on.
You know Top Gun?
No, I don't. Top what? Top. Not sure about this. Is it Top Chef?
Oh, no.
You're talking about Top Chef?
Now you're getting a facepalm.
All right, well, moving on to the next news point here. This one comes courtesy of Google themselves. That's right. Google themselves is apparently telling that they made a mistake. If you're not familiar with the way that things have been on Android in recent, well, I am about to tell you about that. There has been a thing going on for a while called the material design. That's sort of been the look that Google's been trying to shape the Android experience towards. It's the one that came out, what generation was that? Was that KitKat that material started to come out? It was a while ago, right?
I thought it was Lollipop.
It might have been. It was a couple generations ago that this material design started to come out. And that's really the push that they have. Well, in recent, they've started to implement some dark mode features. We actually talked about it before on this show here, that there's been YouTube dark mode out before. And recently, they started to roll out a messages version. There is also a overall theme dark mode, as well as one in Google Maps. Well, Google confirmed at the 2018 Android Developer Summit that the dark mode actually extends the battery life of Android smartphones quite a bit. And what they're saying in this presentation that they had was that the screen's brightness almost linearly increased a smartphone's power usage by having the dark mode enable. And they also revealed that the Pixel smartphone, which has the AMOLED display, is able to reduce the power consumption further by 63% when using the night mode on Google Maps. So a significant increase in battery life if you do use dark mode on Android. Now, what they actually said, though, after talking about all of these great ways that dark mode is helping with battery life, is they actually admitted that they made a mistake pushing towards that material design that people did quite like at first, because as all of these developers started to put in more and more white themes that did match that material mode, quickly the battery life started to get hit a lot harder on a variety of Android phones. So while it looks clean, it looks like the dark or the future might be away from material design, maybe headed towards that dark mode. I know, Chris, you and I were messaging this past week that we got, I think it was it messages that we both got dark mode enabled on?
Yeah, Android messages rolled out a dark mode probably about a month and a half ago, but they didn't really advertise it. So you had to know you had to flip it on, but it has a dark mode and I love it. The YouTube app has a dark mode, which I think is fantastic. But again, you've got to remember, I'm a guy that stares at computers all day long and code and things like that. Dark mode, that's my bread and butter, man. I hate the bright white displays on things. And I, for one, am kind of glad that Google might be deciding to make a darker variant of the themes on all of the Android devices. Because the first thing I do anytime I get a phone is put a dark wallpaper on there, because that automatically changes all the buttons in the notification tray to a darker color, until Pi came out where you could set it to whatever you want. But the darker, the better on my phone. And, you know, it kind of makes sense that this would be better on battery, especially with OLED displays, where if it's a black pixel, really not lighting up much.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I totally agree. I can't believe it took them this long to realize it. I'm really surprised that it took them this long, but I'm loving the dark mode in many different apps. And I actually just changed my SwiftKey theme for the first time to be even darker than it was. I've always used a dark themed SwiftKey, but then after Chris and I were exchanging some messages, I'm like, I'll bet I could find one darker. And I did. And it uses even less light. So I am so excited to see dark mode being embraced.
I have tried dark mode on my iPhone 8 Plus, and it is incredibly hard to see in low light conditions. Like if I'm laying in bed or whatever and pick up the phone, I can't read it. So I have to turn on lights in order to read it. So I've just switched it back to light mode. It makes it a lot easier for me to read it.
Yeah. And of course, that's what I think that you should end up doing is always, always switch to Android so that you'll have the dark mode experience. That's what I just heard you say.
It's not what I said, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right. Well, moving on to the extra section here. Stargate Pioneer, you had something about the Curiosity rover, didn't you?
I did. We haven't talked specifically about the Curiosity rover in a while. We have talked about Opportunity. I do not have any Opportunity news. It is entered into power save mode right now, and we will see if we'll ever get Opportunity back again. But NASA's Curiosity rover, on the other hand, is rolling and drilling again. So after suffering a couple of technical glitches that put NASA's Curiosity rover off its duties on Mars this past year, the robotic explorer seems to be back in full health, according to a space.com article, having driven to a new site and drilled a sampling hole. In order to reach the new science site, Curiosity had to drive about 197 feet or 60 meters. The journey comes a month after engineers running the rover were forced to switch Curiosity back to its backup brain after a computer glitch occurred on September 15th. Now, engineers are still trying to figure out what went wrong on the computer the rover had been relying on before the switch. Although the rover doesn't need both computers operating at once, they do want to repair the problem and switch back because the offline computer, or the prime computer, has more memory.
All right, so it's working again, but we don't know what the cause was. Is that my understanding, Stargate Pioneer?
The backup computer is working. The prime computer is still not working.
But we don't know what caused the problem. Is that correct?
If I had to guess, it would be Deputy NASA Director Suncast, because, you know, he's on Mars and he probably went over there and kicked the dang thing the wrong way. I don't know.
Okay, I was going to hypothesize aliens, but I'm good with that. That's a better explanation.
Suncast is hanging out with the aliens right now. They're figuring out the plan for colonizing the moon and planting crops. They're going to make potatoes. You saw The Martian, right? They're going to make potatoes in a similar way in a biosphere.
Oh, potato crops. I thought it was the whole Canada thing again.
No. Imagine, though, if you sold space weed, how much you could sell that for. No, I'm not even kidding. Like, could you imagine what a stoner would think about space weed?
They might think of it. They couldn't afford it, Chris. You know how it's 10,000 pounds just to put something in orbit. And that's not like a pound of weed. That's like everything that needs to support it. So a pound of weed is going to, I have no idea, say a couple of thousand pounds. So that's $10,000 per one of those thousands of pounds. It's not going to be worth it. It would be higher than diamonds and gold and platinum put together. It would be so expensive.
I thought you guys stole a Gaul'd scout ship from Stargate Command to be able to move stuff to and from the moon. Why don't we just fill that with weed? We'll send it to Canada. Steven will sell it. Then we'll use that to fund the dark mode for GunnaGeek.com. And everybody wins.
You have my blessing. Go ahead.
Yes, you heard it here. Suncast, I know I can't mandate you to do anything as Deputy Director of NASA, but I'm strongly suggesting you work with our Martian friends to grow a special crop on the moon.
All right. Well, while Chris is sitting there indulging something Canadian, let's go ahead and ask him what is going on with the Wii and Netflix. You're telling me that all of these Netflix boxes that exist are dead soon. Is that right, Chris?
That is right. Who would have thought that it's November 2018 and we're talking about the Nintendo Wii still? The Nintendo Wii that came out, what, 2008, 2009. It's a 10-year-old console, basically, at this point. You're not talking about those very often. But guys, there's a lot of people that still play games on the Wii. They still make some games for the Wii. Imagine my surprise when I found out they put out Just Dance 2018 on the Wii this year also.
What?
How do I know that? Because my fiance plays the Just Dance games. And she's like, can I get it for the Wii? I'm like, well, yeah, if they make it for it, I'll find it. And I'll be danged. I went on Amazon and you could buy it brand new, Just Dance 2018. Neither here nor there, though.
Was that a product placement? I feel like that was a product placement.
If it was, I would give you half of the money I'm making off of it. So you should just let this one go, Steven. So a lot of people still do use their Wiis. They like to play some of the dance games, the interactive games, things like that. And right now, yes, you can actually still play Netflix until January 30th, 2019, when Netflix and Nintendo have announced the streaming service will no longer be available for the Nintendo Wii. That is not all that is being shut down at that time. Nintendo will also shut down the Wii Shop channel, and they will also make it so you can no longer re-download WiiWare and virtual console titles they have bought before. And then at that point, you can no longer transfer data from a Wii to a Wii U using their system transfer tool. What does this mean? It means pretty much as of January 30th, 2019, you can't do much with the Wii besides play the games you have. You're not moving any data around and you're not using any streaming apps. It's pretty much a dumb console at that point in time, despite its internet connectivity. But that being said, it had a good run. And I kind of have to admit, I was really surprised there was still a Netflix app that worked on the Wii. I was shocked.
There's not. I tried it. I have a Wii on a CRT TV and I cannot get Netflix on it. Have not had Netflix on it for a while. Could not log in on Netflix. I mean, the app's there. I just can't use it. So I don't know what this news story is saying because I can't use it. I had to get a first generation Roku that had the RCA plugs in order to get anything to stream to it. Now, what am I doing with the CRTV? It's in one of the kids' rooms that is not here, so I don't really care about it.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised through this whole article about all these other services that are shutting down. I would have thought they all would have been shut down by now. I'm completely shocked that they're still up. I know like the go-to game, Mario Kart, shut things down forever ago. So I was shocked to see that there were still other things available. My wife still has a unredeemed points card for the Wii.
I still have some long unredeemed long distance cards from back in the day when you had to pay for them.
Yeah.
They're trash.
Exactly.
This is all just because so many of the consoles sold, they kept supporting it for so long. I think we finally started to hit the point where they can look at the stats of consoles connecting to the network and go, okay, there's not enough now for us to really continue sustaining these services. Shut it down.
Yeah. Well, anyways, if Netflix is working for you, and that's a big if. If Netflix is working for you, know that it won't work any longer.
Well, I mean, you got like a month and a half.
Well, might as well move off now.
Two and a half.
And it's SD too. So if you're playing it on your big 1080 or 4K TV, you're only getting 1080 or 4K TV. You're only getting 480 resolution out of it.
I thought there was a HDMI kit.
There's a component cable kit, but all it does is give you 480p instead of 480i, I think. Sweet. Is what it was. It's not worth it, man. Not worth it.
All right. So moving on here to our last news article of the day. It's a sad acknowledgement, and that is that today, the day we record this on Monday, November 12th, 2018, it was indeed confirmed that Stan Lee has passed away. That's right. Stan Lee, infamous Stan Lee from Marvel Comics. He has passed away at age 95. So you can't say that he didn't live a long life. He was doing cameos up until his last couple of years in all sorts of Marvel films and just, you know, changed the landscape of comics. So Stan Lee, rest in peace. We did want to mention that here on the GunnaGeek.com show.
His wife Joan passed away last year in 2017. He had a really rough year, actually, before she passed away. Really rough year. We've been covering it on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. A whole bunch of bad stuff has happened to the guy. A guy was being taken advantage of by close friends and business associates. Finally, he got some protection. He got some legal help. And he's 95, so his health was there. Do you guys remember the last cameo he had with Joan? I'm trying to remember what movie that was. If it was the Avengers movie or whether it was Ant-Man, but he did a cameo with his wife.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I can't remember which cameo that was. I mean, I remember they were standing on a doorstep together, and that's basically all. That there was no actual words, at least that I'm remembering. But that was the last time that I remember seeing both of them together was on that cameo.
I'm not sure which one it was. I mean, he was 95. We all knew it was coming. It doesn't make it any easier because I don't know about you guys, a lot of other people on the internet too. We were kind of just like, 95, we're not going to acknowledge it. Stanley's going to be around forever. The guy's immortal, basically. It still hits you hard. Like, I'm sitting in the middle of Kroger shopping for groceries this afternoon. I get the message, Stanley's dead. And it was like, okay, I had to take a couple seconds because like, this one hurts. And it feels weird to say something like that. But as I stopped and thought about it, I was talking to one of my buddies and we went, well, I mean, look at it this way. He created so many things I loved as a kid that carried over to me loving as an adult.
Yeah.
That it, whether Stan Lee never knew me, I never knew him personally, but the things he created were so much a part of my life growing up. They still are to an extent because I love a lot of those things still. So it kind of hurts, but at the same time, it's kind of nice to realize that those things he created, they're going to live on past him because there's no way people are going to forget who Spider-Man, Iron Man,
no,
Mr. Fantastic, any of these people are because they've been built up so much, and Stan Lee created a lot of these things with help from others, of course, and they've built up to become their own thing, and they have a life of their own. And every time you see them on screen or in comics, it's always going to credit Stan Lee. It's going to credit all the other people that helped create it. So in a sense, he still is kind of immortal, even though we were all kind of like, he'll never die. He never truly does. His spirit lives on. The things he created still continue on. So maybe that's what I'm just kind of clinging to, so that I'm not just sitting here like, well, this sucks, this hurts. I mean, it's really weird. This is the celebrity death that I can think of recently that's really gotten to me the most. Normally those things, I'm just like, oh, that sucks, I feel a little sad. But this one, it's kind of lingered all day. I've just been kind of like a little gloomy, for lack of a better term.
So a couple of things. First of all, I Googled it while Chris was talking. It was X-Men Apocalypse, which Joan and Stan did the cameo together. And I know I've told this story before, but this might be the last time we talk about Stan Lee as a person. I did get a chance to see him in person at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con in 2011. Was in a panel that I wasn't on the panel, but I was in the panel room when he was there. And honestly, I'm glad I didn't really know the magnitude of who he was at the time. And now in retrospect, I just remember the panel as being just a cool time. And I remember seeing him, and I'm very fortunate that I got to see him because not everybody did.
Yeah, I got to say that, you know, you said it, Chris, like we all kind of ignored how old he was, right? You know, I was talking to some people in recent about how old he was, and you know, it's just one of those things that you always hope, like, he's going to keep going, right? And you never really, I guess you thought about it, but you never really truly believed it, right? You always thought like, okay, well, he will keep living for a long time, and now unfortunately his death is upon us, and it is sad, but like you said, it's also great that his work's going to continue to be loved by so many and have an impact on so many for so much longer. It'll probably, you know, unless of course SP takes over the world and gets rid of everything fun, it will go on past our lives, I'm sure. You know, these are iconic characters that just probably will never go away. There will be 1,000 more reboots between now and then, but they will just continue to be around.
I am not the one you have to worry about. Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gallifrey Public Radio, that is who you have to worry about. She has expressed desire to become the world's dictator.
All right, good to know. We're going to go ahead and note that down in the old employee file, and not employee, or network file of the GunnaGeek.com network members. We'll go ahead and put that over there to appease, type, appease Haley at all costs. There we go. It's noted in the file.
She has a couple of great theories about Stan Lee. First of all, in comic books, is anybody really dead? So Stan Lee really, you know, passed away. I don't know. That'll be a conspiracy theory, I'm sure, among geeks for years and decades to come. And the other part is, now that Stan Lee has departed, who's going to do all those great cameos that he's been doing? And the theory that has been floated is that Deadpool, not Ryan Reynolds, but Deadpool gets to do all cameos in the Marvel Universe now.
Ah, interesting.
Well, yeah, fun.
You know.
R.I.P. Stan Lee. All right, Chris Farrell. A while back, you told us about your obsession with Tic Tacs. And then before that, it was about Tide Pods. And then today, you're going to tell us about combining the two, Tic Tacs and Tide Pods, together. Is that correct?
Did we really just do a callback to the Tide Pod stuff?
I think we did. I think we did.
So Steven, I did actually pull...
Have you been eating Tide Pods recently?
No, but I did start my space endeavor, if you know what I mean.
I don't want to know. I don't. But what we do want to know about is what Steven actually meant, which is Chris talking about the Tic Pods Free, which I might have talked about back in episode 236 of the GunnaGeek.com podcast. In fact, I know I did because I pulled the show notes and I looked at my notes to myself and went, why the hell did I make a Tide Pods joke? So what were the Tic Pods Free? If you guys don't remember, they're Bluetooth earbuds, very similar to Apple's AirPods. Now, back when I discussed this in episode 236, they were an Indiegogo project. They got funded like super fast. Within a half hour, they basically got the original funding. And at that price, they were $59 a pair. I hopped on board for the $79 a pair combo before it went up to the retail price of $129. So AirPods, what are they? Like I said, they're Bluetooth earbuds. I can show you guys here in a second. Made by a company called Mobvoi. I talked about them before. If you don't remember who they are, they're kind of more well known right now for their Wear OS watches they've been doing, the Tic Watch ES, the Pro. They do a lot of more inexpensive ones. Like you can buy the Tic Watch S, I believe it is right now, for $129 on sale right now. So they're putting affordable, good hardware out there. They also made the Tic Watch Pro, which is something I've got my eye on. And if I'm good for Christmas, maybe I'll be talking about that in the new year or for another Chris Taps That, whatever we decide to call it. But what they did is they made a set.
Oh, no, we can't leave that alone. Really?
Yeah.
What? Why not? Chris Taps That whatever. That's the motto of Chris Farrell.
It was a reference to the Taps That app. Taps That.
Okay.
Come on.
We're
come
taking
on.
That out of context. Nope.
I didn't know if he was talking about tapping kegs. I didn't know. What are you tapping? Maple syrup?
It was a
syrup?
Reference to the Tap That app segment.
I didn't pick that up. They could have been anything from what you said.
That's not where my mind went. Not at all.
You're a dirty man, Steven. You're a dirty
man. He's engaged.
Man.
I was talking about tap dancing.
I don't tap dance anymore. It's a sad reminder of that horrible, horrible accident that occurred. We don't talk about it anymore.
What's your shoe size?
We're not talking about that anymore.
All right. Well, go ahead and continue telling us about what things that you tap.
So now that I've been derailed, we'll go back. The Tic Pods Free. What are they? In this little box I have right here are my Bluetooth earbuds. When I open them up, much like you would with the AirPods, I've got two little earbuds inside. These are nice ones. They actually have noise isolation. They sit inside your ear canal versus the AirPods that sit outside the ear canal. So what are they? Like I said, Bluetooth headphones. When you buy them, what comes in the box? You get this case, the headphones, an extra set of tips, and then a lanyard you can attach to them. How does it work? You pair them to your phone just like any other set of Bluetooth headphones. You open up the case. As soon as this case opens, it turns them on. You go into your phone's Bluetooth settings and you say, hey, I want to connect to these headphones. As soon as you do that, you're good to go and you can treat them just like any other set of Bluetooth headphones you've ever used. Be the El Cheapo ones you buy at Best Buy, fancy Bose ones, AirPods. They work just like all the rest of them. You can listen to music. You can take phone calls. It's fantastic. It's exactly what you'd expect. However, before you go too far, when you get your Tic Pods Free, make sure you download Mobvoi's app, because you can download a firmware update for these and install that. And you might want to do that before you start using them, because it makes a world of difference in how well it works. So why did I support these? I talked about it back in episode 236. I'm living that dongle life now, guys. I got no headphone jack on my cell phone. So I went, it's time to start exploring some Bluetooth earbuds to make my life a little bit easier. I had some El Cheapo Bluetooth earbuds I was using just to tide me over. They were okay. These are a lot better. Why are they a lot better? Because on these headphones, I've actually got a lot of controls. You wouldn't think, looking at this headphone, I've got a lot of controls, but I can do a lot of things because the back of this stock right here lets me do stuff. If I slide my finger up when I'm listening to music, it raises my volume. If I slide my finger down, the volume goes down on what I'm listening to. If I double tap this stock, it's going to skip a track. And on my left earbud, if I just hold my finger on top of that, it's going to pause whatever music I'm listening to. And on the right one, if I hold down, it's going to trigger my Google Assistant. Or if I'm on iOS, it's going to trigger Siri so that I can do whatever I need to do on that. So I've got a lot of capabilities just on the side of my earbud, which I found to be pretty convenient as I've played with these. I've been using these a lot lately whenever I go out Pokemon hunting or just taking a walk in the afternoon and I want to listen to music. I'll pop these bad boys in and I can listen to music. I can text people. I can make phone calls. It's super convenient. And what else is nice? These are IPX5 water and dust resistant, meaning you can wear them at the gym. You can go outside and take a jog when it's raining and they'll be perfectly fine. It's kind of nice in that regard. I'm not sure if the AirPods are any kind of IP certification associated with them. So I'm not sure if you could wear those in the rain or not. I forgot to check that before I did this segment, but fancy headphones, that's what they are. Now, there might be some catches. What might some of those be? Well, you think it might be battery life. No, these things are rated to last 4 hours on a full charge, each of those cordless headphones. And I seem to do a little bit better than that. If I've been listening for about an hour and a half, I'm generally at about 75-80% battery. So I haven't had a problem there. But they do quote themselves as saying 4 hours of battery life. Some of the other reviewers online have gotten 5 hours. But it's not really a problem because when you want to recharge them, you stick them back in this case it came with here, and the case has 18 hours worth of charge in it. So you can keep charging these things up as you need to. And within about 15 minutes, you can get up to about 50% charge. So in most cases, you're good to go. So like I said, my use case, when I go to the grocery store, I put these on because I can be in my own little world. I can listen to music or podcasts or make phone calls. And they're small enough in my ears that people don't really notice. It's an easy way to listen to my music and not have to deal with people. That's the big thing. The music that comes out of them, it's pretty clear. There's minimal distortion and there's also really good sound isolation because like I showed on screen, these are headphones that sit in the ear canal, not outside of it. So that helps a lot. I end up using the swipe up and down on volume a lot when I'm in the store. If things get quiet, I'll turn it down a little bit so I can hear what's going on around me. One of the times that's become a problem is it's cold out right now. So I've been going out doing some walks outside when it's about 30, 40 degrees out. Well, you guys can see the top of my head. For those of you audio listeners, I'm pretty bald. It gets cold when I go outside. So I've been wearing a lot of beanies. Well, when you wear a beanie, none of those touch controls work through the beanie. That's the only problem. So you're sticking your finger up inside your beanie to do stuff if you want to. It looks a little weird, but not really a big issue. Some other stuff I found out, I was really concerned since these are earbuds that I'd have to worry about them falling out of my ear. Hasn't been a problem. I put the smaller tips on because they were uncomfortable at first. Once the smaller tips were in, I was really afraid they'd fall out of my ear. No, I can shake my head around. I can turn my head real fast. I have not had any of these come close to falling out of my ear. So that has not been a concern for me. However, comma, it could be a concern for someone else, depending on how your ears are, because everyone's ear canals are slightly different. One thing I have noticed, I was watching some Netflix on at one point in time, slight delay between a mouth moving on screen and the Netflix and the sound rather coming across in the earbuds. But that's pretty common with Bluetooth speakers and stuff like that. Nothing that I really notice unless I'm actively looking for it. One thing I was concerned about is I have a lot of Bluetooth devices. Whenever I go out somewhere, I generally have at a minimum two devices connected because I have my watch connected. And then generally if I'm out doing Pokemon stuff, I have my Pokemon Go Plus connected. So that's a minimum of two devices that I'm putting on a third device here to listen to music. I can have all three running, haven't had a problem. So it's nice. I mentioned earlier, I like to wear them in the store though. The problem is people don't notice them in my ears. And a lot of people try to talk to me in the store, I've realized, and I don't notice half the time. So I kind of come off as an a-hole, I think, because I don't hear them because I'm listening to music or something like that. Or someone's talking to me and I kind of have to pause a second and pull one out of my ear and go, wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
How is that really different from normal?
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Now, one thing I forgot to mention is this does have in-ear detection. So if you pull one out of your ear, it is going to pause your music, which is also kind of a nice feature. And when you pop the earbud back in, music starts back up again. So my experience has been pretty good with them. I haven't had a lot of problems. Where's some of the issues I've had? This is not a problem unique to the TicPods. I've had it with other Bluetooth headphones. Very occasionally, I'll get a slight audio dropout for like a half a second. There's a slight crackle. The volume drops really low. And then about a half second later, it comes back to normal. I've had this happen on other Bluetooth headphones. I'm not sure if it's a nature of the headphones or the Bluetooth radio in my phones, things like that. It's completely survivable. I'll go to the store. It'll happen once and it kind of gives you pause for half a second. And then the music keeps going. You're like, oh, okay, I'm good to go.
I can vouch for this. I have a pair of wireless Bluetooth headphones that I use when I mow the lawn. And I keep my phone in my left pocket. And when I mow against this brick wall now on my right side, because I used to have it where my left side was up against this big rock wall retaining wall. And every time I brought my left pocket near that wall, it would cut out exactly like you described. So I'm pretty sure it's a Bluetooth problem.
Yeah, that was what I anticipated. A couple other things I've run into. It takes a few seconds sometimes when you do the long press on the right one to get your Google Assistant or Siri to fire off. Sometimes you're sitting there, it's only supposed to take like a second or two. It'll take 3 to 5 seconds, it feels like. So you might look like a goof a little bit to people that are watching, be like, what the hell is this guy doing? Holding his ear. And then eventually it goes and it's no problem at all. I can say from a Google Assistant standpoint, I was out doing groceries today and I was picking up stuff at the store and I was texting back and forth with my fiance being like, did you want me to pick up this? Should I grab this? Not a problem at all sending messages back and forth that way. And I've made phone calls on them with no problem either. People said I came through crystal clear. And the nice thing is with these headphones, the old set I had before, you'd only hear people talk in one ear. So it was only my right ear I would hear the voices in before. With these ones, you get the people's voices in both ears. So that's a nice feature. I have not had that in some of the other Bluetooth headphones I've had in the past.
Chris is hearing voices.
I am. I hear voices all the time.
I think we need to report this.
You probably should.
He might be a danger to himself or others.
So while I really like the touch controls on the stems, you have to get used to it. You have to get habituated to it because if you double tap too high on the stem, it's not going to do anything. Or if you double tap too low, you need to be almost exactly in the center. So sometimes if I'm not thinking, as I'm looking at something on the shelf, I'll double tap up high and I'll be like, why did my track skip? I'll be like, oh, I've got to hit the middle of it. So it's something you've got to get used to. I'm mostly used to it now, but from time to time, I don't hit in the right place. So it's just something to be aware of. Something I have to bring up, just due diligence. I'm not bothered by it, but a lot of the Indiegogo backers were. I talked about back in episode 236 when I supported this in Indiegogo, they had projected a July ship date for the Tick Pods. They did not hit that July mark. They had some issues. They had to go back and remanufacture some stuff. That didn't bother me because generally on these Indiegogo and Kickstarter projects, we're an angel investor. The ship dates are an estimate. You don't have to hold people to it. And I generally don't. I didn't get mine until early October, I think it was. So while I was okay with that, there were some people on the Indiegogo site that were just giving them hell. I want my money back. I'm so mad these things are delayed. And they were saying we had a shipping delay. Here, go to this site. We'll explain everything that went on. So some people were really upset about it. And I sort of see where they might be. But again, these are some of those folks that don't realize the nature of how things like Indiegogo and Kickstarter work. And we've talked about it before. There's no guarantee you're actually going to get these things. You're, for lack of a better term, an angel investor. I'm okay with a little bit of a delay to make sure I get a good product. And I feel like I got that good product. But I had to bring that up on here because I'm sure if someone listened to this who was a backer and I didn't mention that, they'd be sending in hate mail and be like, what the hell? You should be really upset about the fact that they didn't get these things in time. Not really a problem for me.
Please send your hate mail to js@gunnageek.com.
Yeah, I know, right? So one last thing that's kind of a con, you just have to get used to it, is if you want to use one earbud, that's fine, but you can only use the right earbud solo. The left earbud pairs up with the right one when you have them out. So you can't just wear the left earbud and be good to go. If you put the left bud in your ear and only the left, as soon as you shut the case, it's going to disconnect because the right earbud is the master driver in this. So just something to be aware of. The only way you can do a single is in your right ear. Some people are upset by that. Other people are like, well, this is just the nature of how a lot of these Bluetooth buds work. Who cares?
What if you take the left one and turn it upside down?
That should work. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't, as long as it detects that it's in your ear. And the way it detects that is just a little sensor or dot there that would be covered by your ear. So yeah, you should be good to go. I haven't tried it. I'll try it after the show if you'd like, SP, and I can report in next week.
Think that would be a wise post test to this segment.
It would probably be uncomfortable, though, because the way these things are shaped, they're kind of offset. I'll hold it up a little bit, and you can see it's kind of offset a little bit, so it wouldn't be the most comfortable. Sorry for the blue flashing light. It's trying to pair with my phone right now.
For the audio listeners, Chris just held up the earbud, and you could see that they're meant to go in one ear or the other because the actual, the ear hole is offset.
Right, and they are labeled distinctly left and right when you look at the back of them.
So, Chris, I have to tell you, I don't care about your comfort.
That's fair. Most people don't. Most people don't. So when it comes down to it with these earbuds, would I recommend them to you? So this is me speaking. Here's Chris Farrell. I am not being paid by these guys. I am a customer. I love these headphones. They're the best Bluetooth headphones I've had. I would absolutely recommend them to you, especially if your preferred listening for music is with earbuds. If you're someone that likes to wear cans, get your cans, get Bluetooth cans, and you're good to go. But if you prefer to use earbuds, these are fantastic. They're comfortable. They stay in my ears. For $129, they're cheaper than AirPods. They're cheaper than the Jabra. There's another company called Jabra that has an equivalent. They're at the bottom end of the price scale, and they're comfortable. And one of the things that people get really upset about is, I can only get my AirPods in white, and I want them in different colors. Well, here's some good news for you. You can get these in three different colors. Mine are blue, officially on the site. That's called Navy. They also have a red set, which is called Lava on their website, and a white set called Ice. So you've got three different colors to go with. Not a problem there. I think it's a really good competitor to AirPods because there are a lot of Android users who are buying AirPods because they were arguably the best Bluetooth earbuds on the market. However, they couldn't use any of the smart features to trigger Google Assist or anything like that because those are built to work really only with Apple devices in that regard. Whereas if you buy these, you can use them on any of your devices and trigger whatever your smart assistant is. I think it's an awesome thing. You can find them on Amazon right now, or you can go directly to the Mobvoi website at mobvoi.com. I really like them. I'm really pleased I got them for $79. I'd be willing to pay the $129 if I was in the market for Bluetooth headphones right now. They are that comfortable, and they have exceeded what I expected to get out of them. So I'm really pleasantly surprised.
So what you're saying then, because yours are blue, right?
Mine are navy slash blue. Yes, okay. That is correct.
So what you're saying is that you have little blue things that last several hours that help you with your dongle problem. Is that what I heard?
I'm not going to dignify that with a facepalm, Stephen.
I could have thrown in something about giving you great satisfaction too, but I left that alone.
This is me we're talking about. I don't bring anyone great satisfaction.
This is really good to hear. I will say, joking aside, I am so excited to hear that you like these because when you first mentioned them, I was like, oh, I have seen so many of these things that look good drop and they're terrible sounding. So I'm so happy to hear that these are good because I could definitely see myself getting something like that. Unfortunately, I think those of us who did accept the jackless fate are having to agree that the dongle is not the best solution. It works. It does what it's supposed to do, but it's annoying. So I think that the wireless option is what we are being forced into. So it's great to see that you're really happy with this. I think I would probably go red myself. I'm not a fan of the whole white look because that's the whole Apple thing. I don't want to look like I might possibly have AirPods in there. And, red slash lava, that's Tide color too. Again, the Tide Pods.
I see what you did there.
No, I do like red though. I would probably go red.
Suncast is reporting in the chat room right now that Amazon only has the blue and red options right now. So if you don't want white, that's the way to go. I know they had all three on their website last time I checked, and there's really no difference between buying on their website and Amazon from what I could tell, because I think they do all their shipping and their fulfillment through Amazon centers. The only thing I wish these guys had that they don't, just for their own benefit, would be somewhere besides Amazon. If they could put some of these in like a Best Buy or a Target or something like that, it would open up more avenues for people to get them, because honestly, I think they're really good.
Yeah, I'm doing a quick Google here, and I'm not seeing them in Canada, so I might be SOL on that, but I'm sure they will eventually come up here. We'll see.
You might try directly from their website.
I don't do that. I like Amazon. I support Amazon and everything.
Well, that's fair. I mean, you can do that.
No, I'll check that out. I appreciate that. Stargate Pioneer, you don't have the AirPods, right?
Nope.
And part of that is because of your ear situation, but you were considering them for a bit, weren't you?
I don't know if I was ever really considering them. I know that everybody that I've talked to that has used them in the gym, they do tend to fall out a little bit. So I have my suspicions. Chris, I don't think you're necessarily as active as I am. So if you're bouncing up and down running or something like that, I don't know if the tick pods would stay in your ear either. It just seemed like a very similar design. Most runners actually, they would prefer not to do it, but most runners choose ones that actually have that that lip that goes over the top of their ears,
right,
to stabilize them. And I don't know if you're really active, if the tick pods would work for most athletic people.
Okay, because why I was asking that, because for some reason I had it in my head that you were, but let's put that aside. If you were thinking as an Apple user of getting the AirPods, would you consider going to the tick pods instead just because they're not just Apple?
I might just, right now I don't have a use for anything that's not Apple. All my stuff is Apple. I mean, you guys were talking about the connection issues before. I still use an iPod Nano 7th generation, and I have the same Bluetooth. Matter of fact, when I'm mowing the lawn and I'm starting the manual mower, the push mower, when I pull the cord, it automatically changes from the podcast that I'm listening to music for some stupid reason. I don't know. It's something with the generation of the electric field around the motor that causes the Bluetooth to snap to something else. So I have to make sure that I don't have anything playing. Actually, it'll start playing too. So I don't know. I have to make sure I can stop it after I start the mower.
That's amazing. Okay, that's a really good story.
So what I think it would come down to, if you were someone who was trying to consider that device agnostic, be you Android, be you Apple, who cares, trying to decide between the AirPods and the tick pods, they're relatively equivalent in what they can do. There's a few different control differences maybe, but really if it comes down to what kind of earbud you like, because like I mentioned, the tick pods, they kind of sit in the ear canal. They have tips on them, so they sit in there. The AirPods, much like their regular earbuds, they sit outside the ear canal. They kind of just hang there. So it depends on how you prefer your sound. That's what it's really going to come down to be your differentiator here.
That's a great summary, and one that I would expect from an Android user who is a secret Apple user.
I have an iOS tablet. Exactly. I've admitted that before.
Exactly. Somebody's got to walk the fence.
Someone's got to sit on the fence, and it can't be Steven all the time.
Well, thanks so much for sharing your expertise here, Chris Farrell. I do greatly appreciate you doing that. It's a good summary. And yeah, we'll see how that works out over the next little bit with Canadian sales and stuff. But I could see myself doing that, because really the only wireless headphones I have are full headphones, and I would have a use case for something like that. And it's good to hear about the battery life. That is really a big concern that I had about those sort of things. And looks like they're working out pretty well for you.
Yeah, no issue for me.
If you got a question about tick pods, or you want to tell Chris Farrell why they're not as good as AirPods, please get in touch with us through a variety of ways. You can head on over to GunnaGeek.com. You can go ahead and tweet us at GunnaGeek, or go to Facebook.com/GunnaGeek. If you want to send us an email, it's show@gunnageek.com. We want to hear from you. Tell Chris Farrell why he should have switched back to an iPhone and bought AirPods. Tell him right now. Like, we're waiting. We're actually waiting for the email right now. We're not shutting down the show until that happens.
Well, actually, if he would have bought an SX Max and AirPods, he would have ended up saving money.
Perhaps. I'll put this out there. If someone wants to finance me to go and swap back to iOS and buy me AirPods, I'll rock them for a year.
Sounds like maybe Suncast boss over at the GFQ network will hook you up, Andrew's area, and you and him go way back, right?
This is my indecent proposal to you guys right now. I'll go back to the dirty, dirty Apple side.
It's not dirty to me, man.
You'll learn.
No, I've tried both. I mean, it's not that big of a deal for me either way.
All right. Well, that's going to take us to the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we just want to remind you we're part of the Gunna Geek Network. The Gunna Geek Network has a bunch of amazing geeky content. Please check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, including On the Bubble podcast. It's a fantastic podcast by a fellow named Josh Liston. Check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Before we do go, I will give Chris Farrell, Stargate Pioneer, and I a moment to plug and promote and do whatever we'd like to do. I'm going to start us off here. I'm going to start off by saying I put up my Christmas lights today. Okay, I said that at the top of the show. Now, the promo that I want to actually say, they're shaking their head at me for the audio listeners. They're shaking their head at me, and I hope that they feel slightly bad. Because the promo that I want to say is, as I was putting up the Christmas light, it occurred to me, the year is almost over. It's almost been another year that I've done this show with Chris Farrell and Stargate Pioneer, and it had me thinking about the year and everything, and I just was feeling very, very satisfied with what we've done on this show over this year, and just very honored to continue doing the show with SP and Chris this year. I know we've all had some busy things come up in our lives and whatnot, so really, really just wanted to say, I know the year's not over, but I am very proud of what we've done this year with the three of us on this show and with you two. So thank you very much for making this show as awesome as it is, because you two are the backbone to the show. And if, you know, ever I'm in a funk trying to figure things out with this show, you guys are always there helping me get through it. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. Chris Farrell, anything that you want to plug or promote?
A friendly reminder, we do stream a ton of stuff over on the Gunna Geek Network. If you head on over to geeks.live, and if you're watching this right now, you're probably on geeks.live. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. You can see a calendar of events of all the live shows you can see at any time. So come check out that calendar. Look at another show and be like, hey, I might want to check that out. And come on back and watch a show live. Interact with the co-hosts that are running that show. We always love it.
Stargate Pioneer, anything that you would like to plug or promote?
A couple of weeks ago, we did an episode about fall TV shows. Just want to report back on Charmed, third episode that killed a podcaster. So yeah, not going to watch that show anymore.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I have nothing to say. I have literally, You've made me speechless.
Yeah, apparently it's not the only show out there that has done that, but this was, yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, for a show, okay, let me put this in perspective. CW Network, they don't get the highest ratings, right? They're not AMC, they're not FX, they're not any of the main networks. You'd think you'd want to leverage any fan base that you could possibly garner in order to get more fans watching your show. And that includes, you know, the free advertisements of podcasts, fan podcasts. They went ahead and they killed off a podcaster, a geeky podcaster, and a virgin podcaster. So yeah, all the stereotypes right there. And yeah, I'm just not interested in that anymore. So CW, Charmed, yeah.
There's been some questionable decisions made in television in recent, and things like that is definitely one of them. So, Interesting, I guess, that they just don't care about people anymore. Let's just say that here first. CW has nothing good. Don't watch anything over there.
Be the case in a few months.
I think we're picking the wrong hillside to die on here, guys.
Fair enough. I'm just, you know, I know you guys have busy schedules. I'm trying to help you with that. That's also. But that is going to close us up for another episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show for episode 263. I'm Stephen John Drew saying there probably won't be a podcaster death on this show. No guarantees, though.
So Stan Lee says Excelsior means upward and onward to greater glory. So Excelsior, everyone.
Hey, Suncast, leave the Curiosity Rover alone.
R.I.P. Stan Lee. Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or a thumbs up on YouTube. You can always join us for our live recording sessions, which stream Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern at www.geeks.live. And remember, you can find our full back catalog at GunnaGeek.com/show. If you're itching for more geeky content, check out other shows on GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Voice work was by Emily Prokop of the Story Behind podcast. That's it for this episode. We hope to see you back again next week.